All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to this special planning commission. Today is Tuesday, February 25th, and it is 5:30 p.m. I'd like to call this meeting to order, recognize that we have a quorum. And for our first item of business, we have the minutes from the February 4th, 2020 regular meeting. Any comments, changes, additions?
I move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approval as written, say aye.
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 And we will move on to regular agenda items. I'm not sure who's covering item number one.
Oh, I think Laura is.
No. No,
that's fine. So the item before you has been a very, very long-term project and goal of the community. It actually goes all the way back to the Sturgis, what was it called? I shouldn't have said that until Future Sturgis? Yeah, the Future Sturgis Committee, which then was brought into our comprehensive plan that was approved in 2009 or 10, something like that. The first stage was to complete an assisted living project. And that was Aspen Grove that was built in 2013. Okay. In 2013, the second phase was supposed to have an independent living project. The reason why that was so important in the Future Sturgis as well as in the comprehensive plan and everything else was kind of several reasons. One is that just as the baby boomers are aging, the realization that we need to ensure that we have appropriate living conditions that are appropriate for them, because something we've had in the past is when people get to that age, unfortunately, several of them end up moving to Spearfish or Rapid. Now that has a significant impact on our community, that they tend to be the ones who are pretty involved in Kiwanis and several of our other kind of nonprofits, and so a lot of those people then kind of leave right when they can be the most impactful in our nonprofit organizations, whether it's, you know, Kiwanis churches, food bank, whatever else. Plus, honestly, their sales tax also goes away when they move as well. The other thing is that if you have these living situations, it makes it easier for someone who has a home to maybe downsize from their existing home in Sturgis and move into these more appropriate settings. Because a lot of times we had seniors who were actually continuing to live in their 2,000 square foot home because there was no other living option. And that actually puts a strain on our ambulance service, and it also kind of puts a strain on our housing market, where if there's other living situations where it's easier for them to stay in the community but move into a more appropriate kind of living standard, then it frees up those homes for you know, a new family, either to move up or a new family to actually move into our community. So it has been a significant need that has been discussed for more than 10 years now. The city and SEDC have been working very aggressively on this, which we kind of have called the second phase of Aspen Grove. We've been working on it for 4 years. We've worked with several different developers on trying to get to this point. Most of the time when we've worked with other developers, it's not that there's not a financial, it's not that it's not financially feasible to do it. It ends up being that it's too small of a complex for their kind of traditional portfolio. Usually these are kind of nationwide companies that their smallest you know, project would be twice the size, and so it doesn't quite fit. We've had other developers that because of changes in Medicare and Medicaid and everything else, they ended up being bought out by someone else, and so then, you know, we thought we were getting somewhere close, and then it fell apart for that. Thanks, Tammy. So it kind of made a lot of, it made it very challenging. We got to the point that we thought we were incredibly close in 2017 with the developer. And so in order to try to help move it forward and make it as quick as possible, we actually rezoned the property and we also established a TIF district. We didn't have the project plan passed yet. We didn't pass the project plan because we were still working on finalizing the numbers. Unfortunately, what happened is that development kind of went away. And so the TIF is already established and the zoning is correct. We just don't have the project plan. Now we are very close with a local developer to complete building it, which we're excited that it's a local developer. It seems like when we're dealing with the national ones, there's always a larger issue than Western South Dakota that gets them to the no point. So hopefully now with a local developer, it is very feasible. The local developer is Dave Gustafson and his company, which they were actually the ones that built Aspen Grove. They didn't operate it, but he built it. Did he sell it? He doesn't still own it, does he?
No, he never did.
Yeah, he just built it. But he has several other, you know, projects kind of throughout the Black Hills. His intention is to build it and lease it to an operating company, and it would actually be the same operating company that operates Aspen Grove. So there would be some nice synergies that kind of would occur between those two facilities. It would actually, it would allow their management to kind of be fully utilized, because now, right now Aspen Grove is a little smaller than usually what it would be. So it would just provide a good economies of scale, even though it's a smaller complex. The proposal is that it would be a three-story structure, which fits within the zoning. It would be 50 units and 16 are assisted living that would be on the first floor at Aspen Grove. There's actually not a waiting list anymore because, or there is a waiting list, and it's so long that you can't call in and put your name on the list because it's so long, and so there's a massive demand for assisted living. So this would help ease some of that demand on the first floor to have some of the assisted living, and then on the second and third floor, it would be independent living. So the seniors would be able to move into the second or third floor and then purchase extra amenities that they would want, including, you know, meal services that would be prepared downstairs, you know, light housekeeping, that sort of thing, if people would want. And if they don't, they can just move in, and then maybe after living there for 3 or 4 years, they get to the point that they would want those sorts of services. So in total, it's 50 units, 36 are the independent living, and 36 and
34 and 16.
Yeah. It is a three-story project, and so with that, the actual building footprint is slightly smaller than what the plans were back in 2017. So there's actually some additional land that would not be used. The intention is once we actually get the footprint on the property, that there would actually be some additional land where probably a couple townhomes would be built fronting on Ferguson Drive, just to make better use of it. The financials that are included in the packet and in the project plan do not anticipate any revenue from that or anything else, because always when we prepare this, we try to just be very conservative. And as so, and so we didn't anticipate that, but likely it'd be two plexes, so probably four extra units. So it'd be nice, but it's not like that's a major game changer, I guess.
So what kind of green space are they going to have there? For, I mean, certainly they probably like that someplace they could.
Yeah.
You know, is that kind of factored in already?
Yes. Yeah. And so there is a requirement that they must have at least.
Right.
I don't remember.
10%
percentage, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it exceeds that though, by far. The green space on it, and we're still actually working on the site plan that has not been finished, and so I can't show you what that is. That would have to go through the regular building permitting process, and so when Scott and Dave look at that, you know, if there's not enough green space, they would have it. But from what I saw before, I think it was like 35-40% green space.
With that gas line easement going through there, that can't get developed. And then there's a flood lane
right
going through there as well. It can't get developed.
That'll all be green space anyway.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Okay. And I think we talked about this before, but access to Dolan Creek and Moose for vehicles, what are they? I mean, those are both fairly busy roads. Are we going to have any significant increase in traffic coming out of there, being it's independent living there, that many?
Well, there would be an increase. The primary points of access we're trying to have off of Ferguson.
Okay.
But there would be access points off of Moose and Dolan Creek. But they would be far enough away from the intersection that, yeah, from the corner that Liz is comfortable with that. Okay. You can see in here, if you look at the improvements that are made, there's a significant amount of expenditures on 910,000 on the infrastructure. That's to actually completely reconstruct Ferguson, as well as a large portion of Moose and Dolan. And so that whole intersection there is going to be far better than what it was. It won't be signalized, so everyone knows. I mean, it'll still be a four-way stop sign there, but it should be fine. The finances, so when you look at it, this kind of went back and forth as we were talking with our auditors about it. Similar to three of our last four TIFs, this will be a self-financed TIF. The city prefers to do that. Number one, when we do that, we get a lower interest rate than what the banks charge, and so the project actually comes onto the tax rolls sooner, which is a benefit for the schools, the county, and the city. And the other thing, honestly, the city also gets a higher rate of return than what we get on placing money into CDs. I mean, our CDs right now, we're getting like 1.5%, I think, and so 4% is a nice increase. So it would be a city, a self-financed TIF, which again, we've done that very frequently here in the past 5 years, and that's turned out incredibly well for the community. We would be doing that. There's the cost of the infrastructure for the project, the financing costs for the initial loan payments, that's $200,000, and that's just because it would take about 2.5 years before there would be enough cash in that TIF to start paying on the loan. So that's kind of the initial cash that would be in the fund just to repay it. Also in here, I want to make sure everyone understands there is an additional economic development grant that is available, and that's at the discretion of the council. That is something you can do in TIFs. And for example, that was done for the Scott Peterson TIF. I forgot what that total dollar amount was. I'd have to look at it, but it was, it exceeded this $200,000 figure. What the concept of this $200,000 is that it would provide some relief during the initial lease up of the project. So if for the first couple of months there's a lower occupancy, it would help him to be able to make kind of the loan expenses for the first few months, because that really is kind of by far the scariest part of the entire project. Once it's leased up, it cash flows very nicely, and we don't anticipate that it's going to take a long time, but that hedges some of the developer's risk, but not all of it, so everyone knows. That is capped at a total of $200,000, and so if you look on page 4, there is kind of a breakdown of how much could be received each month, and that's based on what the actual occupancy is of the project. And so if it's very low occupancy, it could help for 4 months, but then after that, it's all on his own dime. And so we're not, you know, trying to ensure that it's profitable, we're just trying to take away some of the risk for it, some of the initial. If it all $200,000 is not used, then whatever is left just goes against the loan principal to get the loan paid off sooner. Also, there is a clawback provision in here, so that if, which we don't anticipate, but you know, if the developer does decide that not to use it as senior living and just to open it up as apartments, honestly, they could do that. But then if that happens, they would have to repay that $200,000. And how we went over this numerous times with our attorney, and how it's laid out in here is what he feels would be by far the easiest, which essentially just states that the developer upfront is agreeing that he's going to repay the city $10,000 annually for 20 years, and then we would just forgive that if during that year it was used as a senior living. And if it was not, then he would owe us the $10,000. The reason it's written like that is if for some reason the developer did not use it as a senior living facility, we would essentially just file a lien on the property for that amount of tax lien, and this would be able to be filed. We wouldn't have to have separate court action, and so that's easier. Not that we anticipate that happening, but we are trying to make sure that everyone follows through with the commitments that have been made. The two last things. One, you can see in here March 31st, 2022. The reason for that, that's when the potential lease-up credits kind of expire. The reason for that is all the expenditures up here have to be done within 5 years of when the TIF was originally created. Since it was created back on April 3rd of 2017, in essence, we've already kind of gone through 2.5 years, and so there's only 2.5 years left. So that does kind of challenge it somewhat, but the developer's okay with it, but that does kind of shorten up some of the time frames compared to if, like one of the new TIFs that we'll probably establish this year. And then lastly, you can see in your packet, there are two other exhibits. One that just shows the map of the TIF. Really what we're talking about is this area here is where it would be built. With the townhomes probably built right along here. The reason this other area is included is because we'd be making improvements along Bowling Creek Road, and so we just wanted to make sure that the adjoining properties are part of it. Same with Ferguson, and then the city actually would be doing some stormwater improvements right along here, where we have a couple issues in the Murray Addition, so we'd be using some of the funding here to make some improvements that need to be done. And then when you turn the page, the rendering is actually a photo that is very similar to what would be built. This was built by the same developer, and so it's essentially the same plans. There's a couple differences. The hallways will actually be wider, and so the entire building, of course, will be slightly wider. There would be balconies on the second and third floor that would out from that, so it would add some additional, you know, nice appearance. And then where you see the main doorway or entryway into the apartments here, that would actually be greatly expanded, and that's where there would be more of the common areas where a lot of the dinner, you know, meal services would be and stuff like that. So this is very similar, but I don't want you to think that it's the exact same. But this is a very similar look as to what would be done.
There actually would be common areas on the front and the back.
And the back, yeah.
I assume there's an elevator in this thing.
Right.
We'll make all the 80-year-olds use the stairs. Like it'll keep them young.
They have the two floors.
Yeah.
So what lots will it sit on exactly?
We
don't have a site plan.
We don't have the site plan. That's still kind of being oriented.
Those are platted.
This is all going to be replatted. The problem is there's an easement that comes through where there's a pipeline that nothing can be built on, and that takes up a decent portion of this lot. So we're trying to orient the building to avoid that. But also we would like as much of the building as possible to kind of be focused along Moose Drive here. Just that aesthetically would probably look the best, but the engineers are kind of flipping things around and seeing how it lays out on the site.
One other thing too, the housing study that we just did last fall also addresses this need. We did Aspen Grove, it was that original housing study that, but it was being built at the same time. And, assisted living units addressed the need in that 2014 housing study, but now the new housing study, guess what, says we need more assisted living. So that was one of the big differences between earlier plans and this one, is the earlier plans were all independent living. Now this one's roughly a third assisted living, the rest are independent living, and it coincidentally addresses basically the needs that are based in this housing study. We need about 15 units for assisted living and about 30 units for independent living according to that housing study, so this will meet that.
So as far as like repayment at the TIFT, is there a bit talks of that bill passes with discretionary?
Well, this actually would supersede that bill because
it was a pre-existing TIFT.
Yeah.
But I did listen to the hearing this morning, and they're adding a provision into that, so anything that's already in effect will continue to be until the 5-year time limit is up. So anything currently in effect will not really be affected.
Yeah, it would just be for new ones. And so what would end up happening is if this gets delayed further or something, we would actually just close down the TIF and then start it all anew. I mean, honestly, we're hoping to avoid that just because it's a lot of additional work if we close down a TIF and start it all over again. So hopefully this will work in time. And if it doesn't, then we'll just start it again.
So most of the increment itself then is being assumed
yes.
to come from the building?
Absolutely. We're not anticipating any additional increment from any of these homes, although in reality there's going to be, you know, over the next 15 years. But the financial projections do not show, you know, indicate any additional increment in any of these homes or the additional townhomes that would be built here. We're trying to be quite conservative with it.
And then,
So
the city's going to self-finance this one. Is there a clause or something in here? I didn't see anything in the developer's agreement, but if he's to sell to like a nonprofit or something, that the proceeds would come back, or that sale would include the repayment of the TIF portions. If it were to go to a nonprofit?
If it would go to a nonprofit, that's a good point. I'll talk
you say
about
a nonprofit that doesn't generate real estate
property
tax.
Right.
So very few, I mean, that'd have to be like a hospital or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
But still.
There are assisted livings that are exempt.
Yeah.
They fall under different programs.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So
the odds of that happening would be very low, though, but I think it should be in there. But.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it just the nature of that industry sometimes.
Yeah.
The cost of the structure.
But yeah, you're right. You think 5 years down the road or something, they get squeezed out or whatever.
Good catch.
And they've got the beds secured for the assisted living, so they've got access to those.
The, what do you mean?
No, you're thinking of
long-term care. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Have the ceiling on that, but assisted living.
Right. So did you say that the management of both these will be independent of each other, same company, just independent, or are they going to be managed by the same office?
It would be managed by the same office.
Okay. Which is good.
Yeah.
There's nothing in writing yet on that, but that's the discussion.
But that's what they're negotiating right now.
No, I think it's an incredible project, and I'm excited to see something happen on this corner.
It's a good use of that spot.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
This is not a guarantee yet.
I don't see any problem with it.
We appreciate the support of the city on this, because without this TIF, we'd still be out there hunting this.
Any additional comments or questions or discussion? Do we need, are we doing project, so the TIF's already, so this is just project
this
plan.
This is just project plan.
Okay.
I'll move to approve. Plan.
We got a motion to approve. We have a second.
I'll second it.
We got a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the project plan's approved.
And we will work on that additional to get transferred. That was something I hadn't thought about.
With that being the only item of business tonight, I think we can close.
Thank you for having a special meeting. Appreciate it. Construction is right around the corner. Every week counts this time here, so appreciate
it.
I'm
not looking at it today. It's
not. We all hope it is.
Sunburned one day, snowblind the next.
South Dakota weather's like the lottery.
It is.
58, 32, 12.
But it'll be gone this week.
60. Yeah,
exactly.
Great.
It's going to be far better here soon.
Yeah.
Move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Meeting is adjourned.